How long? Baby, how long have that evening train been gone? How long, baby, how long? Well, if I could holler like a mountain jack, I'd go somehow mountain, call my baby back. How long, baby, how long?
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here. We got rain and clouds coming down the poly of the mountain. Absolutely beautiful, as always. Yet another reason to go to sleep and wake up in the morning, looking for a new day. Anyway, got a lot to chat about, and later on you can call in 524-1080. And got a couple things there. We're going to have a gentleman calling in from Kauai. Need your help, and if you care to, he has a dog. There was a dog that was involved in the biting about 7 months ago on Kauai. And it's a pit bull, and the order is to put him down. The judge orders him to put down. So he's appealing to the public, those of you that, and I know some of you probably think, well, it's a pit bull, then it's okay to euthanize him. But I don't believe that. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. But if you care to join in later on, he's going to call in the next hour and solicit some of your support or some of your understanding to call the judge on Kauai of the Humane Society. And then we have Miss Kathy Gogel, president and one of the founders of the Animal Rights Hawaii, and we're going to be talking about agriculture and farm raising animals and you name it, and some of the new bills or the bills that are floating through the legislature right now. So we're going to bring her in, and we're also going to, later in the next hour, or if depending on what we do, how we get through the first hour, I have obtained a copy of the emergency services response audio tape of the incident with Shri Shin, that the boating accident. So we actually have about a 6-minute tape of the initial contact, and I'll let you be the decider of that. And again, the sole purpose of playing that or obtaining that was to bring transparency, because there's so much in the rumor mill about the various things. So we're going to play that, and so just hang on to your hats. And you can pick this up at carolcox.com, CarrollCox.com. And you can also stream it at KWAI 1080 AM, carolcoxshow.com and go there, click the button, listen to us, and you can do that any day, any time of the day, and we're rocking, man. So bringing you up in the new ages. But I'm going to bring on Miss Gogel. Good morning, Kathy. Are you there?
I certainly am, Carol. Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am fine.
Well, what do we want to start off with first? I went out to Barbara's Point. They're looking at the rendering plant, the commodities rendering plant, and mm-hmm. also the slaughterhouse. I'll let you tell us what it sounds like, the rendering plant. What is it? What is that anyway?
Well, those renderings are the parts of the animal that are not considered to be able to be consumed by humans.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those parts go to the rendering plant. In some states, actually, animals from humane societies and animal control facilities go to rendering plants, but not here, not on Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the renderings go into animal food. It sounds like it's a really good way not to waste things, but it's really quite a disgusting procedure, and it smells quite awful.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been there, you know, because they boil all of these things in. I'm not sure whether it's oil or water
mm-hmm.
until it's rendered down to like a mush.
So they take things like the lanolin. When you read a package of shampoo, it says animal fat or what have you. Is that one of the
the
rendering plant? And that product then is used for various human uses or non-human uses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
indeed. That's why I always buy products that have a little leaping bunny on them, on shampoos and makeup and stuff like that are not made with dead animals.
I see.
Either or tested on them. So.
Yeah, and while we're there at this, there's a slaughterhouse which is right next door, and you have some information on that. And tell us what goes on there, and as well as there are some concerns that you have raised or have pointed out regarding the actual lease. Is there some monies that are owed to the state or for rent and haven't been paid? Can you explain and share with us what your knowledge of that?
I certainly can. Of course, the original plan started a long time ago, about, I guess, 10 to 15 years ago when Paloma Meat got a huge bond project, and they were supposed to guarantee a loan to the slaughterhouse. Well, Paloma Meat went bankrupt, and then the slaughterhouse has been surviving on infusions of taxpayer dollars for years. I have the report I got from Dean Matsukawa at Department of Ag at the end of November of last year told me that there are two loans. One was for $500,000, the other for $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Delinquent principal and interest as of last November is $256,350 on the first loan and $100,862.95, which means essentially they owe more than the amount of that of the second loan because they haven't made any payments. They've had accrued interest.
And this payment would be to whom? Who would it be made to?
To the state.
I see.
The state owns that slaughterhouse now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked about late fees, and he said they didn't make them pay any late fees,
mm-hmm.
which I, you know.
So currently, there's an issue in the news where people are being it's disclosing that there's leases and they're cheap leases and all. This is a situation where it sounds like basically fair market is being charged. It's just that the state isn't collecting its fair market prices that is agreed on, they're letting people walk. Is that, would that be a fair?
According to Mr. Matsukawa, he said the borrower has a forbearance agreement in place and has been making payments. Mm-hmm. And a forbearance agreement, I had to look it up, means that if you are deeply badly in debt, that they give you forbearance, and which is a lot nicer than you get from banks. Mm-hmm. So, but in the meantime, last December there was a request at the Board of Agriculture for two ranchers from Kauai. I'm sorry, I don't have their names, but they asked to take over the lease of the slaughterhouse. They want to do some repairs and build it up so that they can slaughter more cattle, because that was the original plan, to slaughter a lot of the cattle from Oahu. Never materialized. Most of the animals that are slaughtered at that slaughterhouse are pigs that come in live from the mainland, which is a really horrible life and death for those animals. Now the ranchers on Kauai are planning on shipping their cattle to Oahu for slaughter, mm-hmm. which means those cows will have to go on the barge. And it also kind of triggers a concern of mine about the proposed dairy on Kauai, because, as you know, when cows don't produce a certain amount of milk, they're considered spent, and they're sent to slaughter. So mm-hmm. this sort of kind of makes it a little bit easier for Ulupono and Mr. Omidyar to go forward with their plans, because there are not sizable slaughterhouses on Kauai. And I must say that by the time a dairy cow is considered spent, they can hardly stand. Mm-hmm. They have been inseminated, made pregnant, had babies, had their babies taken away, impregnated again. So by the time they are not able to give enough milk, they can hardly stand. And putting them on a boat and sending them to Oahu for slaughter is just horrible.
Now, these dairy cows, when they inseminate them, the intent is to remove the baby soon so that it lactates and generate milk. Is that?
That's that right. If it's a female cow, they will put her into it's kind of like an igloo that for the first year of life, and feeds her a kind of formula. But the milk is supposed to go for humans. Mm-hmm. If it's a male dairy cow, very often they will just kill them or sell them off to anybody who wants to take one to raise for meat.
I
but
see.
They're considered throwaways.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's pretty awful. I've talked to you over the years about how the state just hemorrhages money, our taxpayer dollars, to an industry, livestock, whether it's an egg industry, dairy, cattle, deep rabbits. They cannot make a go of it here because of the cost of feed. And now in the legislature, they're asking for more money to underwrite the cost of feed and also the cost of shipping that feed here. So I hear the Cattlemen's Council brags that they are stewards of 25% of the land in the state, and they claim that they are taking good care of these lands. A lot of these lands are state lands that are leased for grazing. But they are at the same time coming to the legislature with their hands out year after year after year. So I mean, what at what point do you say, hey, you know, businesses are supposed to get along on their own. You give them a little help once in a while, but not constantly.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking earlier about a chicken farm. Is there a proposed chicken farm for Honolulu or for Hawaii or Oahu?
Yes, actually, there is a proposed 10 million hen egg farm planned for the center of the island, and I have a little bit of information about the company. It's a national livestock producer. It's Rose Hill Farm. I haven't seen anything in anything regarding permits for it, but I did hear it from the chair of the Board of Agriculture that they were supporting it.
And where when you say central part, where specifically do you know?
I don't know, but I think it's probably up near Wahoo,
mm-hmm.
in that area.
So we know what the smell of chicken poop and coming from the coops smells like. So possibly that would be a 10 million hen.
10 million hens. And we do not have a chicken slaughterhouse on Oahu anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So what is traditionally done is that when the hens don't produce enough eggs, they're called spent hens.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be sold off periodically to anyone who wanted to buy them, to kill them, and eat them.
Mm-hmm. So no slaughterhouse then?
No, no slaughterhouse. There's nothing in place.
So then that means they
also have a problem with the manure and the and water systems. And this is big ag coming to our little state, and we don't need it here.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a 10 million farm. What type of cages? Is this going to be the new, quote, humane cages or facilities?
Well,
how are they proposing? What are they describing it as?
They said, what I understand is that they are building the cages. They call them the California cages, which are the dimensions of the cages that were decreed by Prop 2 in California. And that means a little bit more space. They can also use old battery cages and just put maybe two chickens in instead of three. And those cages were so small that the chickens couldn't even turn around. Cage-free is basically a lie. They are not cage-free. They have a little bit more space.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't go outside. They never see the sunlight. It's not good. It's
mm-hmm.
cruel.
And so that means they'll be shipping in feed or grain. And how are they going to? What are they going to be feeding them?
Well, they there's a food. It's called chicken feed.
You're right, but I mean, for example. Many people don't understand that when we feed chicken feed, it could be anchovy pellets, right? Or
that's right, and then rendering.
And so,
something from the rendering plant. They put a lot of stuff into commercial animal feed that are from rendering plants.
Right. What most people don't understand, and it's our responsibility to educate them, I guess, is to say that when you have such a large-scale chicken farm, as an example, you're going to need the food to feed them to produce the eggs or whatever you're going to for cooking or whatever. But it's going to impact a resource somewhere else, either the Chilean sardines or the anchovies off California or what have you. And all of that is rendered in the fish are caught and processed and made into chicken feed. So we might be having a massive environmental impact that we as here in Hawaii won't have to take into consideration, because we would never see it, right?
Well, I hope that what they're planning, because of its massive size and its potential damages to our environment, that it would trigger an EIS and an environmental impact statement. And I'm keeping track of what's coming down the pike in the way of proposals for projects regarding animal enclosures. Confined animal feeding operations, CAFOs, are what is used primarily on the mainland. The huge, huge farms with pigs inside who never see the light of day, chickens who never see the light of day, dairy cows who are kept in up to their knees in mud. We can't afford to have this kind of agriculture here. It's too demanding, and we have a fragile environment here, and I don't understand why Department of Land and Natural Resources, which is always so hot to go after invasive species, but they never seem to comment on the possibility of the environmental damage from dairies, from piggeries, and from chicken farms.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things is that the truth reveals itself over time, and the agency that is tasked with environmental protection, and that's a farce, because you can't, let's say it's a half-ass approach, because on one hand, they talk about alien species, but if you look at the system, how it's designed, the state system, you have a Department of Agriculture, and you have that Board of Agriculture members who sit and decide based on political and financial influences. So there is no science there, or very little. And so it's driven by economics and then special interest economics. It really isn't. They take the liberty of attaching to their name biologists, scientists, and what have you because of the titles. But reality is agricultural inspectors, what are they inspecting for? The Christmas trees to see if they have worms, bugs, or alien species aboard, when in fact the reality is if you really want to protect and you've assessed that Hawaii's resources are valuable and fragile and irreplaceable, you wouldn't allow the darn Christmas trees to come in. That's where you'd start. Is that an extreme measure?
Well, no, I don't think it's an extreme measure. I think it would make a lot of people very unhappy. And that's probably why the Department of Agriculture still allows the trees to come in. And I've been down at the department down near Sand Island when those Christmas trees have come in, and they're really only able to inspect a few from each container. I mean, that's an example. Another example would be the rose ring parakeet on Kauai. There was a bill that is moving through the legislature to research the parakeet and control it. And apparently, somebody let a pair of parakeets go, and they're rampaging all over Kauai. It sounds like that. But it seems so odd that they're going to be expending money to kill parakeets. Very sad.
But then again, once again, here goes the science and the silly behavior that when they present themselves, now they're presenting themselves as scientists and they're concerned about the parakeet or the ringneck Indian parakeet or other species. But then the state agriculture department is responsible for managing the importation of citizens or parrots and cage birds. So, you know, if you really have assessed that these things pose a threat, a great risk to Hawaii's resources, why would you have them on a list that you certify and you authorize to be imported for whatever reasons? So it's always what I'm getting at is that ultimately it's all about killing. And that brings me to I have grave concerns for the environment here and the fragility of the species and all of that, the plants, and because they're rare and endangered, many of them. Or I'd say anything here in Hawaii that's natural is endangered, whether it gets on a list or not get on a list, because there's so much politics in getting something on the list that you really shouldn't trust a list to be all that and you know, in protection. But there's currently this issue about cats in the wild. Cats are, quote, alien species. And I've observed this nasty, underhanded, go-nowhere, accomplish little or nothing. And I think in today's paper there's an issue on cats and how controlling their population. It always gravitates back to, let's just kill them and trap them and kill them and trap them. Who's going to stand up and say, well, that's, if we agree that cats are problematic, and cats are in the wild are problematic, I won't ever say and deny that, but here's the reality. Unless the government make it and address these issues, when you move from out of state or you get a divorce or you have an animal and you're allowed to have a cat, don't, whatever, take those measures, neuters, spay, and but instead it's a matter of there's this money machine. You have this alien species effort, right? And from the University of Hawaii, you got NOAA running around claiming that the cats are defecating, and therefore it washes down to the ocean, and the monk seal eats the fish that ate the toxoplasmosis. But if they were to come back upstream, you don't hear them taking issue with anything. So it's just a killing machine and the easy way out. And the scientists that are writing today in the paper, none of that holds water because they don't address the real issues. People in colonies that I'm familiar with, you can spay, neuter, trap them all, get them neutered, and they can't have babies. And you go there the next week or the next day, somebody has come along and dumped 8 kittens and a pregnant mother. Or you understand?
Yes. I'm very, very, very deeply concerned about this, the abandonment of dogs and cats is illegal. It's very, very hard to prove it because people usually do it when they don't expect someone to see them. There are three cases pending in the court right now about of abandonment, and I hope that we get at least one conviction so that people will realize that this is a real, real problem. I work at the Cat Friends Clinic a couple of times a month, and we spay and neuter sometimes 200 cats in a day. And people spend their personal money, their time, their efforts to take care of these cats and maintain their health. And they should be congratulated and not treated as though they're criminals.
What do you mean?
There were 4 bills in the legislature to make it illegal to feed cats on state land.
You think that someone in the government, in these so-called alien species groups that beg for $5 million, $10 million, and every other week there's an announcement of a new grant. There's this to kill mongoose. Now, where the hell were they all these years, right? And it's just so that the public will know. It's just a money-making scheme. They will never, because their programs are never, ever meant to address anything but the little spot that they are. They try to, you know, we see Nature Conservancy aggressive in doing alien species and announcing that. We got the chairwoman who tried to pass a bill. And the reality is, it's about money. It's all about money. They were celebrating how some guy has designed a method of shooting from a helicopter, a paintball gun, to spray meconium. And then they go off and write a book. The reality is, all of those millions, and I'd like to ask you, and I don't want to state something that's inaccurate, but I personally have never heard a single dollar of all of the millions that they have gone to the Cat Friends or the Humane Society or anyone, out of those millions of alien species control, where they've given money to specifically address spay-neuter.
No, you never, follow? Nothing.
So it's bogus. The whole thing, it's whine, and then, oh, we need $5 million, Governor. We need federal government. We need $5 million because this rare bug, but on the other hand, every Christmas there's this massive importation. Where are the balls when it comes to aggressively attacking those issues? They pose a greater threat or equal amount of threat that cats do. That's why I say it's a big lie. It's a big game of let's hurry up and get the money, and no one is listening. But if we tell them it's going to annihilate or wipe out a certain species or it poses a threat to an endangered bird, you know, then it's one big lie. It's a big circle jerk. They get the money, and they never, ever go to the cat feeders and say, can we work with you? We got $5 million here, man. Can we spend some of this and enhance your programs? We may not agree with what you're doing, but we got $5 million. But instead, they spend the $5 million in classes and anyway, I'm
and helicopters, yeah.
Helicopters at $6.50 an hour. It's getting nowhere, and we see cat populations increases because this same group of people will never go to the military base and say, you know what? If we have people here, that how many thousands of soldiers are moved here annually? And of that thousand, they want pets. What are your policies and what are the programs that you have to ensure that that family who's only going to be here, some of them are going to be here but 1 year or a year and a half, and they go and acquire cats, right? And then when they leave, it costs to transport the cat or do all of the records take. And what happens then? The Fluffy gets dumped over in the garden. Fluffy gets dumped in the park. Fluffy gets dumped in the Sand Island Park or in the business center. When are these so-called alien species fighters going to really step off their high horses? But I don't think that'll happen because that's their survival is sucking up money from public trough and scaring the hell out of us all.
Well, quite frankly, I think it's become an industry. First, we had Pierce at the university, and then there were a couple of other groups formed, and then there are the island invasive. Each island has an invasive species committee. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, they have the invasive species commission. Now they're requesting at the legislature that they want an invasive species authority. I mean, it's just one level over another level over another level of money. Mm-hmm. That I haven't seen any benefits from it. When I have tried to get from DLNR and from the Nature Conservancy, the numbers of animals, how many did you kill in the last year? What kind of weapons do you use? Because this aerial shooting, the bill is moving through the legislature to allow shooting from helicopters. It was originally only to be in very, very remote places where people on the ground couldn't get to. They changed that language. Now the bill is moving forward to allow shooting from helicopters.
Yeah. Well, let me give you another example where I say that it's because it is a Sunday morning show and I don't own the airwaves, I really say it in a certain way that I think most people would agree, but then it'd be the end of the Carol Cox show. But let me just say that this is the BS that's bannered about by this alien species warfare, you know, brought on by these educated people. That, you know, they know what's best for it. Follow this. You know the super block down there at Keomoku between Kapiolani and, let's say, Baritania, where they built this humongous Walmart and Sam's Club?
Yeah.
Now, this is just to show you how ridiculous and why I have the mindset. And I'm going to tell you, it hurts me when I see a cat in the wild uncontrolled because it poses a threat. Cats like birds. They like to eat. They whatever. That's the natural response. But going back to this, the super block. So there was a colony of cats there that people abandoned and dumped and let one wild and mate and play and whatever, okay? And they said, well, we got to get rid of those. We got to kill them, and because they eat birds, and they are, you know, and man, they kill the plover. They kill the native birds, okay? So you shouldn't feed them, and if you're caught feeding them, we're going to arrest you because we're protecting that environment, right? So here's where the BS comes in, and it's quite obvious. So you tell the people don't feed the birds, don't feed the cats, and don't befriend them. And then you trap all the cats, and then you build a super block with Walmart and say, what happened to the birds?
Yeah, indeed.
You see, so these are crackpots that are running around with degrees presenting themselves as being concerned, but they don't have the balls or the fortitude to stand up to government or anyone because it's such a game, you see. And I can tell you there at Ala Moana, there was colonies of cats there. Oh, don't feed the cats because in this area, we're going to give you a ticket. You're going to get arrested because it kills the birds. It poses a threat to the – there's too many cats. And what do you see? A high-rise being developed for $1 million apartment building. What happened to the concerns for the birds? Where are those alien species war, you know, heroes when challenging those issues? This is the reality. See, it's all BS. And it's, as you say, it has become an industry, a money-making machine. And any one of you out there that got a college degree and think you are smarter than the rest of us, sometimes common sense let us know that if you're going to give me a ticket and arrest me for feeding the cats because it creates a problem for the birds, and then I stop, and then you let them build a super block of a Walmart and Sam's Club or whatever, a high rise, something's wrong there. Right?
Yes. I wanted to bring to your attention and your listeners there is a bill allowing DLNR to enter private property with or without permission to remove invasive species. Now, at the hearing, the DLNR said, we are not targeting cats. But if you go to the DLNR website, their list of alien species has caps on it. So what are we supposed to believe?
Yeah. Well, I can take you out to Barbara's Point. It's Campbell Industrial Park. There's a three-acre piece of property there with endangered plants, and birds forage there, and endangered birds forage there. And they've run people out of there and say, you can't feed the cats here. If we catch feeding the cats, we're going to arrest you. Really? Okay, so the people stay away. Cats are still there. And what is proposed for that site that they were going to build? They were going to give you a ticket for feeding the cats because birds hang out here and the birds are threatened by the cats? Oh, they're going to build a three-acre building to cover that property. What happened to the concern for the birds?
Well, you know, there are some birds that they care about and some birds that they don't care about. If you had an injured dove or a mosquito and you called the Audubon Society, they would not help you because it's not a native species. Mm-hmm. And they figure those birds should die mm-hmm. because they compete with the native species.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I wanted also to talk to you about Atlantis.
Atlantis? What, you mean, are we found Atlantis?
Well, Jeff Stone, I think, feels he's found Atlantis. He is planning on a huge development, 2 hotels and a dolphin encounter and a swim-through aquarium and having sharks interact with people. And we think this is a really, really bad idea. We don't need any more cetaceans in captivity. We already have 2 dolphin prisons on our island, and we don't need a third.
Hey, why don't we, you and I, we've been around a while, and we care about animals. Why is it so hard, or why can't we get a dolphin and some turtles and open up a swimming pool and have it as an attraction? What's so special about these other people? How did they get these special permits and all? What? And Jeff Stone, how? If I come close to a dolphin, they'll look at me and says, "You're scaring him with your ugly looks." So that's a felony, you know. But others can go out and trade and barter and buy and borrow and sell and put them on display. What's with that? Are these special people? Did we miss something when we were in the incubator room or something growing up?
Well, the way the system works right now is they can't import dolphins from other countries.
Right.
They have a ban on that. But, you know, the captive dolphins at Dolphin Quest and at Sea Life Park, they are reproducing, so they will have their babies and they can sell them. And all you would need is to get the proper building permits and then have Department of Agriculture, federal, mm-hmm. come out and inspect mm-hmm. you, and you're all set to go.
And then I guess the justification is there's some educational value to it, but the portion of the education that the educational value that is missing is that you got to have money to enter the front gate to take your children to educate them, right? To let them see.
What's really hot right now are these dolphin encounters, the swim with program.
Oh, yeah.
And the menu from Dolphin Quest is, I mean, you can spend up to a couple of thousand for hanging around with the dolphins and what my friend Steve Pittman calls lap dancing with dolphins.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, have you seen some of those people that actually go out there and swim with the dolphin?
I have spent the day at these parks. I have not been out to Makua.
Yeah, well, I mean, in captivity. I stand there and watch sometimes, and I think, you know, it should be a criminal offense to have to kiss some of those guys and girls. They're so damn ugly. And here you confined to a pool in that you got to kiss ugly people, so someone else can make money on you. That's just horrendous. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like forcing you to kiss me or something. I mean, you know, it's like this whole thing is about money, and when it talks about protection of the species, there's really no protection because they dropped the ball. And one aspect, and then go balls to the wall on the other to drive home that point, you know. And there are so many contradictions, and I'm not defending animals in the wild, but I'm going to tell you, unless they speak specifically, see, they'll hear me say, well, that's kind of strange. He's an environmentalist, and he's defending the cats. And see, they won't hear what I'm saying. I'm saying, no, you environmentalists don't have any balls, and you're cockeyed with your approach to this thing. You won't speak to people and the mayor and others who want to develop and build on an area that you've been whining and moaning about don't feed the cats in a certain parking lot, and then 3 months later it's designated as a place to build a high-rise. You don't squawk then, right? So I hope they, because they have a tendency of taking everything so personal and hearing only what they hear when it threatens their $5 million grant. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And there are signs to it, and they have a good stance, but it's half cooked. It's they don't have the huevos to stand up and speak entirely to the problem. That's the problem I have with this whole aggressive attack on, quote, alien species. Because everything about us every day here in this state is a bogus approach, and it's about sending money and educational welfare. You're funding people to sit around and go to college and pretend that they have soldiers in this war on alien species. And it ain't happening, folks, because as much, the crunching of the building and the developments and all of that. And then we haven't even addressed our sewage and everything, right?
That's true. But I'm hoping that because they're on the coast, they're going to trigger at least some special permitting, if not a brand new EIS.
Mm-hmm.
There was an EIS done in 2005, but it's old, and it's basically on a different piece of property. So we are going to fight this. I think I've seen the Atlantis Hotel. There's one in Dubai. There's one in the Bahamas. They're extremely ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They would not fit into the Hawaiian environment, and it would stick out like a sore thumb on the west coast of the island. Now, the people will say, well, maybe it'll bring jobs, but at what cost? With the traffic and all the other problems that you have from large development. So we're just beginning our fight on this, but it's going to be a big fight. But,
mm-hmm.
the dolphins, they belong in the ocean, not in caves.
And not in swimming pools.
Yes.
Yeah, but where are these defenders of wildlife from the educational side of life, the universities and all, who got these great ideas? Why aren't they screaming and squawking about that, right?
And well, HPU is out at Makai here and Oceanic Institute, so they have a marine biology program. They are producing students who are getting degrees in marine biology, and yet they're hand in hand with the captivity industry. So it's very murky.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate you calling in. And is there, real quick, anything else you
Just real quick, I wanted to let you know that we are following through on violation of the humane slaughter law at Kulana Foods on the Big Island in Hilo. They did pretty awful things with shooting bulls with .22 rifles and not making them unconscious with the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
These animals were shot 5 times and suffered immensely, so they were closed down.
Mm-hmm.
So you're the first I've talked to you about this in the media, so you've got an exclusive on this one.
Okay, well, please keep us informed. And, Kathy, any new events coming up with the Animal Rights Hawaii?
Well, this time of year, we're just concentrating on the legislature, trying to push bills forward that are good for animals and stop the ones that aren't, and so we don't really have any special events coming up, but I will certainly let you know when
okay.
we do.
All righty. Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it. Kathy Gogel with Hawaii. I'm
Aloha.
Sorry. Thank you. Aloha. Animal Rights Hawaii is the organization. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. And again, I want to give recognition to a number of people out there that go around feeding cats and neutering and spaying, and it's a tremendous cost. They're demonized, and yet these educational guys, the people that sit and write fancy articles and give you signs, I'm just going to say this to all of you out there that come from the academia side, in that you're full of it. Because unless you can tell your friends in academia and in your higher agencies that might give you a grant and incorporate your nonsense into this, you're missing the target. You're not doing any good. There are people that are spending their hard-earned money, spending, medicating, and trying to combat the problem. You may not like it, but it's better than what you are doing. Running and sitting in and writing glossy articles and fancy and sneaking in the office with the legislators, and you still never going to have the balls to stand up and face the real issues. You won't face your government agencies who allow the pollution, the continued flowing of sewage. You don't say charge the mayor. You don't ask for that. You say kill the cat because it's threatening the environment. But you're not being genuine. So that's my piece to you, and I love all animals, and I believe that we have to do something here in Hawaii, but don't be half-baked so that you can make a grant and get money and have your special little clicks. Enough of that already. The world is caving in on us because every day there's, down there at the Hilton, there's two more towers being built. Where were you on that? Where are you? I mean, that's going to impact the native species. Where are you? So I'm just looking for somebody in the alien species warfare to show me a set of huevos, and then I would accept some of your approach. But I think you're just bogus. And we're losing the war on all of this because you discriminate as to who fits into your plan. So that's about all we have. And caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Is this Carol Cox?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Carol. I'm hoping you remember me. My name is Shelley. They used to call me, well, still do, Maka'ala Nakoa. And I went to a fisherman's meeting with you a long time ago in Haleiwa. We talked about ocean mining.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, first of all, thank the Animal Rights Hawaii, Kathy, for speaking. I am calling here from the Big Island. And just to back her up on, I guess, both of you, what you were saying, it is like a vicious cycle where if you don't feed the cats, they're going to eat more birds.
Mm-hmm.
And
until the buildings are built.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and like you're saying, it just doesn't make sense. But and then I wanted to talk to you about the... And then I'm going to get back to the ocean mining, but the dairy farming...
We're going to come down to the last few seconds. If you hold on, or you can call back right at 10, and we'll pick it up then, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm coming down to the last few seconds, but go ahead in the next... You got about another 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that right now in Washington, there's a case going on, Center for Biodiversity versus Pritzker, which is the Secretary of Department of Commerce... Mm-hmm. And it's to stop the ocean mining by Lockheed and Steel. And then next year is sulfide mining. They want to start in 2017.
Okay. Well, hold on or give me a call back and we'll take it up, okay?
Okay, I'll hold on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
All righty. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for listening. 524-1080 is the number, and you can get us at KWAI1080AM.com and listen to us live there or any show on KWAI1080.com. Far-reaching now, folks. Back of the hill, back of the mountains, in the taro patch, in the cornfield, wherever. If you got yourself your phone, you can plug it in and go to KWAI1080AM and get us live streaming. And, hey, the station works on and operates on funding, so those of you that have advertisements and things like that, contact the management here, and you can set up something, or if you want a show, it's a pretty good deal. So I would encourage all of you to call in. The owner is Barry Wagenvoort, so please give a little love there, as they say on the church side of things. But we're going to go back real quick, and there's two lines here we'll pick up with the person from Big Island. Okay, go ahead real quick and tell us what you got, what you have, and we can converse later about it in greater detail. Hello?
Hello. Oh, hi. Hi, Carol. Oh, first of all, I was going to tell you off air, but I might as well say it now. I know you're referring yourself as ugly, but from what I remember, you're not ugly at all.
No, but I'm too ugly for to be kissing something as beautiful as a dolphin. You know, I mean, you ever see a dolphin's eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I mean, you see that smile? Oh, man.
Yeah, my daddy always told me I wouldn't actually be here if it wasn't for a dolphin, because I'm related to some ancient sea tribe that the baby was saved by a dolphin, so I feel really close to dolphins, you might say.
Well, good.
But I wanted to just make a few comments about the dairy and the cattle situation. Here on the Big Island, I was able to go to a meeting with the dairy farmers, and we were, you know, talking about GMO corn and Monsanto corn and whatnot. And so the dairy farmers were saying, well, you know, cows got to eat. And I said, yep, I used to work on a cow dairy myself. I was a calf feeder. And I do know that the feedlots back in the 70s were actually putting powdered cement into their feed. And that was like a big issue. They've supposedly stopped that now, but we always wondered, you know, what actually was in that cement. And turned out it may have had actually tailings and toxic waste in there, because they were mixing stuff in with the cement. But getting back to the corn, we said, well, geez, you know, I used to work at an heirloom seed company, and how would you feel about getting non-GMO corn, or what you might call an alien species bacteria, which is the BT, you know, the bacteria they put in the corn to get rid of the caterpillar that eats the top of the corn cob. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some article, and I didn't see all the scientific proof about it, but technically that there was a big washout. Some of that pollen, the corn, the BT got into some species in the ocean, and there was a big die-off off of Kauai. So that was either rumor or scientific fact, but it was a little alarming there. And that this is actually an alien bacteria that they're allowing to be brought in to Hawaii through the corn. And so the dairy farmers here were very receptive to the idea that, you know, if you can find us a corn seed crop that is not, you know, non-GMO, they'd be willing to try it. So we're looking at using, you know, properties that would be available through the county to grow seed corn. And then I spoke with some folks from Department of Ag, and they're saying, well, you know, you have to look at the viability of the pollen, and that it should be, you know, pow within one day, but it depends on how far the pollen's being carried with the trade winds as to, you know, cross-contamination of your non-GMO seed crop. But it's not that hard to actually grow a seed crop and get a lot of corn seed. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, you know, kind of weaning off the farmers off of the GMO by actually providing them with seed. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing that brings up to mind is all these ag leases and whatnot and ranch lands and properties. And so it turns out that these properties are all subject to the Statehood Admission Act 5F, and that they contain what's called Maheli properties, land commission awards, and raw patents. And a lot of these, especially on these what so-called state lands and old sugarcane leases, a lot of the old sugarcane leases were POW in the early 1920s. So technically, these properties should go back, and by law, they are protected under HRS 172-11, where the rights of the heirs of the royal patent inure. And to me, the Hawaiians, the Kanaka Moli, are an endangered species, and they need to have poi and taro because they, they're suffering from diabetes and whatnot. And so we're also looking at an amendment to the 1920 Hawaiian Homelands Act, where we can amend Section 203, where previously, as you can imagine, sugarcane lands were excluded from what Prince Gohio wanted to do with rehabilitation of Native Hawaiians through the land. But number two was that they would not allow them to do to have sugarcane land, that would be excluded. But as you know, the sugarcane is all defunct now, and a lot of the, back in the day, Hawaiians worked for the sugarcane companies, and they were promised that they would get their land back after working for them, that they were, you know, land rich but money poor. But then three generations later or so, the sugarcane companies act like they own it, or they could sell it, or the realtors coming in selling property they don't own, when actually it's the HRS 172-11 says that the rights of the royal patent heirs inure even if the land was alienated. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, we can help the Hawaiians, even as a, you know, I'm an American, I want to do the right thing, and I know about the apology bill and whatnot, and I'm also related to the Polynesians, so, and I'm part Native American. So it's sort of like a multifaceted thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we need to do the right thing, and then thereby we would be preserving many cultural sites. We'd be preserving, you know, the Hawaiians in general. And but I wanted to just also get back to this issue of this ocean mining.
Yeah, make it kind of quick because I have someone else. No problem. I had to ask someone to call in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
And you can hold on. Go ahead.
Okay. So what it is, this Center for Biodiversity versus Penny Pritzker, Secretary of Department of Commerce, NOAA, and Lockheed and Steel. And basically, if you look on the federal red, this is an ongoing case right now, and with many different citizens, scientists, and all that looking at extinction of species and biodiversity. But in the Federal Register, Department of Commerce and NOAA stated that they had made a clerical error in not considering the environmental comments from Center for Biodiversity. And then also, if you look at what they're doing so far as the mining, that the ocean mining, they've been actually bringing in this toxic waste tailings into Hawaii, putting it in cement, fertilizer, offshore dumping. And this is ongoing projects that we're trying to halt. And they even wanted to dump tailings on 800 acres of Department of Hawaiian Homeland when you have 27,000 people waiting on the list. Mm-hmm. So that's actually been stopped. But the thing is that under case number 17, we did get that filed since I saw you long ago at the fishermen's meeting. And case number 17 was filed by five natives of the closest coastal impact, which is actually Kailua Kona, that within 6 to 9 months the sediment would reach the Big Island. And they've never come up with an idea of how they're actually going to get rid of the waste, which is why they're doing all these proxy experiments.
Right.
But the thing is that under Article 5, Regulation 30 of UNCLOS, International Seabed Authority, the UN Secretariat shall shut down all mining if there's harm shown, which, you know, there is harm shown. We have videos of mining, and I know that this other company, Nautilus Company, and then I'll kind of wrap it up. They used to be a renegade company, and now they've signed on with International Seabed Authority. and they want to do sulfide mining with a ship that they have in escrow right now. It's $113 million with a Chinese and Germany company, and they plan to do ocean mining of sulfides in 2017.
Okay.
And their whole thing is that they want to do processing at sea and using these reagents, which is usually arsenic and whatnot, and their idea is that, oh, the ocean is so big, it'll just dilute it. Well, we're talking a mining area the size of the U.K., mm-hmm. west of the Big Island, and then also Nautilus sulfide mining east of the Big Island. And so the ocean is already fragile as it is. I mean, there's just so much going on with the ocean. And all of this mining will cause a big swath or an area that will be disruptive to the pelagic nursery cycles and to, like, the whales and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tlingit Indians and all the other coasts, over 70 coastal tribes that are on red alert right now about this ocean mining. And they want to call for, along with the native chiefs here and just the general public, want to call for a UN special session and want to alert all of our legislatures and representatives that they're, you know, we're under real threat right now because
right.
if they do this mining, you know, they could kill the ocean, I mean,
yeah.
basically. And this is just not my opinion. This is a scientific fact.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm
going over the time,
and
if you want to hold on, if we find more time with this, is you know. But go ahead, wrap it up if you would, real quick.
Oh, okay. Okay. So basically, I just wanted to invite anybody who would like to send in any paperwork, any kind of requests, complaints, etc., about ocean mining. And to be aware that the name of the mining ship for Nautilus is called Solwara. So we're on, if you see that within our waters, please report it to the Coast Guard. You can make an incident Coast Guard report. We basically want to encourage anybody, including scientists, cultural practitioners, whatnot, to, you know, first of all, stop Department of Hawaiian Homeland from leasing out any lands to ocean mining, dumping, because we're not a dumping ground.
Okay.
And, you know, we want to protect everybody from this mining, and we want to protect our subsistence fisheries and especially the Hawaiians. They need our help.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Carol.
All right. Well, send me an email at carol@carolcox.com with some more information. We'll sit and talk again on air.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey.
It was so nice to hear your voice.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
aloha.
Carol. Bye-bye. Aloha. Bye.
Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Is this Robert?
Yes, this is Robert McClure calling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Robert, I had early in the opening of the show introduced this issue. Could you real quickly tell us what you have there regarding your dog? Your dog was involved in an incident biting back in June of 2015.
It was July 20th of 2015.
Okay. And what's happening? I invited you to call. You say that recently the judge fined you $350 and has ordered the animal to be put down.
Yes.
And you were asking the public to call in and support you. Go ahead and make your plea there.
Please do. This dog should not be put down. He's a pit bull blue nose. He never maimed. He never killed. None of the dog never had to have stitches.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. And I went to court on Thursday. My lawyer threw me under the bus.
Now we're not talking with. What do you want the people to do? If your lawyer threw you under the bus, that might suggest that you're not a good client. So I would just, you know, whatever. We're not defending you.
To call the Hawaii Humane Society.
Right.
At 808-632-0610.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can ask for Penny Cistaro.
Okay.
Cistaro.
Okay.
To help stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Kauai Courthouse.
Okay.
Which is 808-482-2300. The judge's name was Judge Moss.
Judge Moss, M-O-S-S?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the reason is that, you know, when you, it sounds like it, what you, people will probably support you, but they want assurances that this won't repeat itself, you know. But when you start saying, well, the lawyer threw you under the bus, that's not owning up to what transpired, in my opinion. And
okay, no, I understand that. I understand. Yeah. It won't happen again because we followed all the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
We built a big pen for him mm-hmm. under the house. The reason he got out is because we had the gate where it opened outward.
Right.
Well, we switched that. Now it opens inward. We followed all the stuff they needed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And still the judge wanting to put, having put down.
And when, what is the deadline that is scheduled for the killing of the dog?
The judge said 10 days, but I filed an appeal, so hopefully it will have more time to deal with this.
Okay.
But the dog is only 2 years old. He's only a puppy.
2 years old and blue, right?
Yeah, blue pit bull. And he's so friendly with people. He gets along with some dogs, but sure, some dogs he doesn't get along with. I mean, that's the dog world.
What is your number, Robert, so that people can call if they want to speak to you directly and then support you? What number should they call you?
My number is
808-230. Mm-hmm.
3823.
Okay. And you're on Kauai, and right now the animal is housed at the Kauai Humane Society?
Yes, he's been locked up there for 7 months in the Humane Society.
Okay. 7 months and waiting to be killed?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and give again the Humane Society number and also the court. And what would you like the people to ask?
To stop the execution, to let the dog go, because he's only a puppy. You know, he hasn't learned yet. It's my daughter's dog. We wanted to put him in obedient classes after she went to court on July 29th and had all the charges dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But then they turned around and they cited me as the owner, and she couldn't. She couldn't put them in obedient classes.
Let me ask you this, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but when we're worried about the dog, and that's what ultimately this conversation is about, right? The welfare of that animal or that dog. And would you be, if someone came along and said to the judge, we would like to adopt a dog, would you, Your Honor, would you give us that opportunity? Would you be willing to relinquish it?
Yes, we would.
Okay.
We just don't want to see the dog dead because he's a good dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So give those numbers real quick, and then we're going to move on. And
okay,
I'll check with you, and we'll see if we can get others to help you.
Okay. The Kauai Humane Society, again, is
808-632-0610. Mm-hmm. Go again with that.
Excuse me?
Go again with it. The number. Repeat the number again.
808-632-0610.
And then the
director's name is Penny Gastaro.
Okay, and then the judge is, the phone number to the court is what?
The courthouse is 808-482-2300.
Okay. And the dog's name is?
Knuckles,
Mr. Knuckles.
Yes.
And
my grandson named him.
And it's a 2-year-old blue pit bull.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Robert, I'll get in touch with you shortly, and I've sent out feelers to other people, and I think one of them may actually call you. So we'll see what, at the mercy of the court, asks that for the sake of the animal, okay?
Oh, we beg, please.
All righty. Hey, thank you, Robert, and hang in there.
Thank you, Carol. You have a great day.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, you know, I wake up sometimes being chased by a dog in a dream or something. But there's nothing like a dog as a friend and as a pet or just as a companion, whatever you want, because my dogs think they own me, so I thought I was a free man at one time, but my dogs tend to, they just take over the house when they want to, walk in, and muddy feet and all. It doesn't matter. It's their house for the moment. So, you know, and God forbid if I go with for 2 hours and don't feed them on their regular schedule. It's like they're at the door barking and scolding me. So animals have feelings, and it's unfortunate that in this case the dog Knuckles apparently bit a collie on this occasion, and but did not kill it or anything. And you've heard me tell stories about dog attacking other dogs on this show. But anyway, if you care to help, contact the judge and beg some mercy for this dog, 808-482-2300 or 808-632-0610. It's funny how animals interact with us, and they tend to carry the brunt of all of the death, and we forget that they are good animals, and we condemn them, and you know, the courts have that prerogative, but hopefully maybe they could find some other alternative rather than euthanization of this animal. So anyway, I'm going to, as I had promised, I'm going to play the 911 call of the Sri Shim incident where, as you may recall, Mr. Shim lost his life there, and it was a boating incident. And I play this for one reason. And that is to, let's get this machine here to set up. And the reason for playing this, if we get to this point, is to let you hear what transpired that day. Because, you know, we haven't really had any official comments from any agency other than we know that they withdrew the citation and that was issued. But again, serious problems, right? I'm having a little difficulty in putting this on. So you can go to carolcox.com and actually listen to the theme there.
Paramedics, address of your emergency. Hello.
Okay.
Hello?
Kylo boat ramp. Hey, just tell them Kylo boat ramp.
Kylo boat ramp. Hey, what's going on over there?
Sorry?
What's going on over there? Hello?
Hello?
What's going on over there?
Come on, let's go. How bad is my way?
Hello?
Hello?
What's going on?
That's my arm. We hit someone with a boat.
With the, like, the motor hit them or what?
I don't know.
Okay, so you guys are at the Kailua boat ramp. The one that's right before you go into Lanikai?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the way, and I'm going to send Ocean Safety, the lifeguards. They're going to come over to you as well, okay?
Okay.
But you need to tell me more of what happened. So how old is the person that got hit?
I don't know.
Just give me an approximate. Is it a younger person or is it a kid? Is it a man, like 20, 30, or is it elderly?
No, not elderly.
Okay, like 30s, maybe, 20, 30?
Yeah, about.
Is he still conscious?
Yeah.
Is he breathing?
Well, yeah.
Okay, and what part of the boat hit him?
I don't know.
Did the motor run over him?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, were you in the boat?
Yeah.
Okay, and what happened? You guys were bringing it in and you didn't see him?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of injuries do you see on him?
Yeah. I see an injury on his leg and on his arm.
Oh, on my leg.
His arm.
And leg.
Blood coming from his arm?
Yeah.
Okay, is he still completely alert?
Sorry?
Is he completely alert?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And you see injuries to his arm. Do you see anywhere else, like his head, his chest?
No, There's a leg on his waist.
Huh?
There's a leg on his waist.
Okay, is he out of the water?
Yeah.
Okay, where is he? On the boat? On the boat, or is he on the beach?
He's on our boat.
What's the name of your boat? What's the name of your boat? Or what kind of boat?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you see the lifeguard there yet?
No.
Okay. Well, do you guys, are you guys holding pressure to the bleeding?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure you do that until you get there. Tell me when the lifeguards get there, okay? But until they get there, hold pressure to any of the bleeding that he has. Okay? And he's still awake right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he bleeding from the head at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. Just hold the pressure to the bleeding and tell me when you see the lifeguards. Everybody's on their way to come help you guys out, okay? And you guys are docked at the boat ramp. Are you guys at the boat ramp docked?
No, we're in the ocean.
Oh, how far out are you? Are you?
Not very far. We're just past the island.
Okay, hold on one sec. I gotta get Ocean Safety on the phone. Don't hang up, okay? Hold on, don't hang up.
Okay.
Hey, Ocean Safety, this is EMS. This is the Kailua boat ramp call, and sorry, I initially thought they were at the boat ramp, but they're not. So I have the caller on the line, and she can tell you where they are.
Okay, what is your location, ma'am?
Ma'am, where are you so we can come to you?
We're in the ocean, just past Flat Island.
Which island?
Flat Island?
You're on the way to the boat ramp. Tell me, okay, so you're, what is your boat? Tell me about your boat. Is it, how long is it and what color?
It's red.
Red boat, how long is it? Is it a big long boat?
It's about 20 feet maybe.
20 feet, okay. Motorboat, yeah?
20 feet.
How many?
20 feet.
20 feet, got you, okay. What is the condition of the patient? He got hit by a boat. Is he conscious?
Yes, he's conscious.
Okay. Was he hit by the prop of the boat, or was he hit by the body of the boat? Has he been hit by the prop?
I don't know.
Okay. Got you. Okay. So.
Is that pretty close to the boat ramp?
I'm trying to dial.
Sorry.
Where is it?
Your location, caller. You're outside Flat Island. Are you on the way to the boat ramp right now?
Yes, we're on the inside of Flat Island now. We're heading to the boat ramp.
Okay, got you. And what is your name?
Leilani.
Leilani. So you're just probably 2 minutes away from the boat ramp. Would you say that's about right? You're very close to the boat ramp. Yes?
We're at the boat ramp now.
You're at the boat ramp now. Okay, good. Got you. Okay, we're
all right, Ocean Safety, we're coming. It's over there. Ma'am. Ma'am.
Yes?
The ambulance and the lifeguards are on their way, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to hang up. Just wait at the boat ramp and hold pressure to the bleeding, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay. Okay, that was the 911 call that was done on the 9th of January of this year regarding the incident of Sri Shin. And I play that, first of all, folks, we don't realize how great the EMS people are. Just to give you an example, what they have to do and what they're faced with and the challenges of getting that. And everybody's excited or what have you. But and a little plug for them, they don't get the respect. You don't really see them. You see the fire trucks and you see the EMS people. But you know very little about the people in ocean safety and what work that they do. I can't begin to understand how many lives they save just with simple acts, from grabbing someone, falling off a surfboard that have been taken on the bow wave and resuscitating them. And believe it or not, many of these people that are working, the lifeguards, are only contract workers and can't get any, they don't get their due salaries and what have you. So, you know, it's shameful, but what they do for us is unbelievable. And what we do for them, when you look at their salaries and how they're promoted and the equipment, I was told, as I was asking around, they don't even have an office designated to themselves. So they're treated, even though they are the backbone of the city and the great tourist trade here, that they're the ones, because everybody come here because of our beautiful beaches, and they're deadly to some of the people that are not familiar with them. And even some of us locals that get in trouble or what have you. But when you know how they're, what they're subjected to, they are the bastard children of an entity, of an agency. And they don't get their just dues, believe it or not. So when you see someone out there in a yellow shirt and the red shorts, don't think that they're sucking all your tax dollars up. They're actually, some of them are struggling. And it's one, if you were able to and had a voice, it's a shameful practice if you understood their value, how important they are to the tourist industry, and yet they are treated as fifth-class citizens when it comes to benefits and all of those things. So anyway, that was a sidebar, that because it's amazing what they put themselves through. To get out and rescue us when we do dumb things, like stand on a ledge and decide to take a selfie and fall, and it's one of the most deadliest conditions there are. There they are. Boop. Pop up. And so you hear this lady on the phone talking, trying to extract this information, because she knows, but she has her cool. And they're some of the coolest people I've ever met, you know, because most people at halfway in the conversation, we get frustrated. So, but I play that to, because we the general public has had little or no understanding or information that speaks specifically to what happened. And there's this rumor mill, things such as there was a third person, a person aboard the boat who was driving it, hopped off the boat and swam ashore because he didn't want it. Oh, the person that was driving the boat has fled to New Zealand, and all of those kinds of things. And so what I wanted to do, and not to speak to the guilt or innocence of anyone, or the right or the wrong, but for you and I, the general public, I obtained that record perfectly legal through the Uniform Information Practices Act, and that allows you, as I've told you many occasions, we say this, but do we really understand it, that government works for us? Government is us. That's why they call it these United States of America. There's that us in there. And so we own the government. You know, we are investors. It's ours. And so the people that work for the government are serving us in a capacity that people are protected and afforded the rights that government and freedom. And so this UIPA process of the Sunshine Act allows you, and so it's nothing strange, it's nothing heroic or anything. It wasn't gotten through someone slipping it to me. The Emergency Services Agency, which is a city agency, didn't balk, didn't fumble, didn't stumble to get me the information. There are things that they protected, such as the patient's rights and things of that nature, and quite naturally there are other things. But again, my hat's off to them. On the other hand, the fire department, as I told you last week, Gary Lum found some reason to show flex his muscle, and we've now appealed that, and we will, I believe that we will prevail, as the whole thing was a shenanigan with Lum, deputy chief, fire chief, who basically wants to take public rights and flip them on its head and ignore them and violate them. But we'll wait for the outcome of that. But again, at Carol Cox Facebook, you can play that again, or carolcox.com if you're interested. And it's simply to try to give you insight, because many of people are still frustrated. I get a call once a day, at least, at a minimum, people trying to understand and asking what is happening. And we think that the Gabberts are covering it up and they're getting a protection, because we have no proof of that. But what we can do is reach out, get information that's factual, and hopefully that you and I, and as a result, this could be a learning, because people are still out there. I went out to take pictures the other day, and the same deadly mixture exists, and nothing has been done. Ed Underwood is busy. I think we haven't heard a darn thing that he say about this matter, and it falls within his purview. But he is threatening a gentleman named Don at Kehi Lagoon. If he continue to feed the cats there, he's going to take his lease away from the boat. Him will not allow, revoke his pass to the boat harbor where this gentleman lives, a senior citizen, lives there. And real muscle-bound, this guy, Ed Underwood. Ed Underhanded, I call him, because there's so many instances of where his employees have run astray, and some have been sentenced to jail, one have killed himself, you know, and on and on and on, and fraud and abuse, and yet he's running around at a senior citizen beating him up about threatening him. Now, this back to this cat thing, see? You can't feed the cats in the harbor, but on the other hand, when people are stealing money from the government, from the harbors, and misappropriating, he has nothing to say, no public comment. So just kind of be careful. If you go to Kailua, be extremely careful, because nothing really has changed. There's still this boat ramp, and people of all ilks or activities of varieties, the swimmers, the divers, the kayakers, the stand-up paddle boards, the kite sailors, all mixed into one little area, folks. And nobody, to include Ed Underwood, has yet to come there and address this and immediately in an emergency act, you see, to put in place a policy. And they have the right to do administrative rules, this guy, Ed Underwood, and DLNR, to address this immediately, go out there. But it's funny, you know, I guess it wouldn't be a parallel, but to draw an example would be that you see how fast they moved on the sea cucumber, which is an animal that moves very slow. They put out emergency rulings and the whole works, fictitiously, that is. Yet, but a speeding boat running through an area of mixed use, they don't show up at the scene. They don't have any emergency rules. They don't have any emergency review or anything. Kind of difficult to understand. So that's why we play that, and many other reasons. But we want you to be informed as best we can. And if the government agencies don't believe that they should, or it's going to jeopardize, we'll reach out and try to find what is available to us legally. We don't want to jeopardize a case or anything, but that's not our intentions or our interest. We want to be informed. That's what this is about. You know, I tell you, I frown on people when they talk about, the Illuminati and the Federal Reserve Bank and all of that. Stay at home here for a day and let's fix some of these problems, the realistic problems, the ones that killing and maiming and hurting and harming and threatening our safety, something that we see daily, and not digging on people that believe in those things. But I just believe that wake up someone and do something real rather than deal with the issues of someone in the dark closet. These are real issues. It's a matter of life and death. So that, again, that EMS person, I'm sitting there listening and thinking, I've been in those predicaments, in that situation, where you're trying to get information because you know it's critical. I mean, someone's life is dangling by a thread, and all that you can do is be there and be composed. And it's my hat's off to them. Hopefully this will keep asking questions, and hopefully we can keep getting answers. And we have some other requests out, and we will, if they're important to you, listen to them. If they're not, dismiss them and go on by your business. We're not going to force feed you this. But anyway, 524-1080, if you'd like to call or have a comment or anything new on your mind. I've basically covered, I got a couple things, but I'd like to hear from you if you got something to say or have a comment on the audio. 524-1080. And you can pick this up again at carolcox.com. So, you got this situation. We talked about the H power. And the H power, there's been some interesting developments there. And something's kind of strange. Something's kind of funny going on. There's a similar matter involving Covanta in Indianapolis, and where they want to build a, you know, Covanta is the operator of H Power, and basically this is from the Wish TV 8, and they wrote an article which is written by David Barris on August 6, 2014, and basically, Indianapolis, a controversial recycling plan is coming to Indianapolis. On Wednesday, Covanta got the green light to change the way the city handles waste. Now, that's similar to the city and county of Honolulu here. You know, they're going to change the waste. And there's a debate and a discussion and a proposal to do away with the blue cans. This is a similar situation. The vote to move forward wasn't even close, with all but one of those with the final say saying yes. Now, residents who don't pay curbside recycling in Indianapolis will get their trash recycled. The only thing we're doing in those doing is those who are just putting it into the trash, that material will now be recycled to the best of the ability available. That's the only thing that's changed, says Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard. Once again, the mayor, you know, and well, our mayor don't speak this. He won't touch this because if he's at the scene of the crime, he's going to be asked, hey, while you're here, can you explain to us how you got so much money from these people that operate and manage portions of the activities at H-Power? You know, so he stays out of that. Covanta, the company that runs a city trash incinerator, will pay for and build a $45 million dollar automated material recovery center. The mayor says that means Covanta is providing recycling for 100% of single-family residences in Indianapolis with no government mandate and no tax or rate increase. And that just brings me back to the understanding where the city informs us that they gave a 47-year contract to Covanta to run the H power, and then Covanta then somehow gets involved in managing or having a role in developing and ultimately having control over the solar voltaic building, which was part of a consent decree forced upon and agreed upon by the city and county with the EPA. So what do you do with all that land underneath the roof? Well, you set up a recycling center similar to this one. Covanta, the company, so the mayor says that means Covanta is providing recycling to 100% of the single-family residences, he says. Quote, at best, case scenario, we're only going to recycle 18% of our recyclable materials, which is a big problem. In addition, we're not going to recycle glass at all, says Democratic City Councilor John Barth, who has said he is not in favor of the deal. He says there are significant penalties the city will have to pay if curbside or other recycling services get bigger than Covanta. So, quote, if we do a better job and put in a better process for recycling in Indianapolis, we will have to pay Covanta $4 million a year, says Barth. So either way you look at it, the city, the taxpayers in Indianapolis, going to have to pay, they're saying. And that's the same thing that's happening here. Laura Kahakina and Mayor Caldwell and his managing director is approving these things along with the city council, who have set and let this thing grow and then in turn boast about the third boiler. And the third boiler, the way I look at it, if we had the right approach as in a follow-up punch, as the auditor has pointed out about the third boiler and H-Power, there would be a lot of people in hot water, so to speak, because there are some practices here that were not consistent with the laws of procurement and purchasing and contracting. And it goes on to say in Indianapolis, but it's a typical piece of in a contract that allows them to protect for the investment they are putting in the facility at $45 million, says Jeremiah Shirk. The difference here in Honolulu is that we, the city and county of Honolulu, taxpayers, we're going to spend a minimum of $16 million to build a solar voltaic building, and then we will spend more money to build the facility to accommodate the processing of white goods, refrigerators, washers, and dryers, as they had proposed. But then there is this thing called the SMRF, or the MRF, that called a dirty MRF, which is assembly line, basically, sorting trash with machinery and different gadgets. So he told the Board of Public Works that Covanta Recycling Plant is a good one. And all but one of the five board members agreed, said Gregory Garrett. The vote was 4-1. The city and county council has no say. The deal is a 14-year contract with Covanta that expires in 2028. Wow, Covanta is able to get some big contracts in a long time. I mean, here in Honolulu, 47 years, and it's 2016 now. So citizens will still be able to pay for and get curbside recycling service separate from your regular trash collection. But once the plant is finished in 2016, some of the trash will be recycled. So this is such similarities. And in fact, if you were to look at their floor plan that they submitted for here in Indianapolis and other places, one of them, and I was trying to pull it up, actually similar to the floor plan that was submitted here. Eerily similar. So your tax dollars are being guided, steered by the city and county of Honolulu's Environmental Service to obligate it to Covanta. And whether they do the job, and here's the problem. With that kind of proposal that they're proposing, we're still going to have materials that they won't burn, can't burn, and can't recycle. So where does that go? To the landfill. So what does that mean? That means we then still continue to pay for the landfill management. So are we really winning? Is this third baller really the magical pill that they said it was? and that it would be. So there's just some bad behavior, folks, that is going on with this H power. Please, I beg you to follow it, not for my sake, not for the sake of this show, but I ask that you follow it because you're going to be the one who's going to be financially impacted. And it's a reality. And I'm not just blowing whistling Dixie for you. You're going to get ripped. And they were challenged in Indianapolis, Covanta was. And they, for example, Kerry Hamilton, the executive director of IRC, which is back there in Indianapolis, said that they wanted to use its annual conference at the International in Indianapolis Marriott East Hotel to remind its supporters and Indianapolis resident that the city's $120 million contract with Covanta was not a done deal. Now, you always hear that language. It's not a done deal, right? But again, in August 6th of 2014, an article was written that says that controversial Indy recycling plant gets green light. But then in 2015, that Covanta ended up defending its contract at recycling. So there were some people after the fact raised some issues as they had in earlier and asking questions. But I'm going to try and post a link to these articles, and it'll help you understand what is happening. So thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week. And this is the Carol Cox Show. Carol at carolcox.com is the email. And don't forget, you can listen live on any show at kwai1080am.com or carolcox.com. Take care. Aloha.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.